Acts chapter 1. You know, as I consider the veterans, I consider that the price of freedom is a high price, isn't it? And you look at history and you see how far we've come and where we are, and you see the price that was paid. Look at the battles that have been fought through the years and why those battles were fought. Why did we fight communism? Why did we fight socialism? Why did we fight the Nazis? Why did we do these things? And we have to remember that and consider that so that we don't reach a point where those things are no longer enemies of our conscience. And yet, it seems like today people are beginning to embrace the things that we've shed blood over. And it's not right. It's not right in our country. It's not fair to those who have fallen and those who fought. But as I thought about Veterans Day and considering what you have done, those of you who are among us, and of course those who have fallen, there was something that they did, that you can't do forever. Somebody's got to take that banner and carry it forward. There comes a point, you know, 30 years of service, 20 years of service. At some point, it was no longer your turn, was it? At some point, you had to say, okay, now, young man, young lady, you take over. You look at the history of this church, 50 years of people who had a burden and had a vision and God gave them a mission, and yet they reached a point where they had to say, now it's your turn. We're fortunate to still have the Lentons and the Kinseys and the Hewitts as part of our church, who were part of that original group. But even though they are with us, I could think of things, you know, Brother Jimmy used to go to camp. He used to take the kids to camp. That's how we knew each other. That's, you know, part of the reason that I'm here, I would say. And Brother Ronnie used to go to camp. I mean, he still loves it. His favorite part is that mattress that's about that thick. But at some point, you got to say, okay, I've done my part. I've given you something to fight for. I've given you something to work for. But now I got to get out and let you take over. I got to step aside and give you a turn. And so it's required of the next generation to step up and to sign up and to take up arms. We look at our country now, and I know at least in the recent years there's been discussion about how they've had to loosen regulations about who they would accept in the military because they couldn't get enough people to sign up, because they didn't qualify, because of their weight or because of their health or because of their record or because of their attitude. And so we're beginning to tolerate a lot more. By the way, you know, you look at these coaches. I don't remember if it was Shula. I think it was Shula that says, you know, it's not coaching. And, of course, he's been out a long time. He said in the end of his career, coaching was different because the people were different, because the entitlement of the new generations, it increased as the years went by, and people just thought you should give. They didn't think they should have to practice. Yeah, they made it to the pros. They shouldn't have to practice. You know, this mentality of entitlement. Understand something. If America's going to remain free, we're going to have to continue to fight for freedom. We're going to have to continue to stand for the Constitution and for liberty. It's going to have to be done. Whether it's against, as it says, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The same is true about our faith, guys. We come to the book of Acts, and what are we reaching in the book of Acts? We're looking at a time when Jesus, in fact, in chapter 1 talks about it, Jesus had laid it out there. He had started the church. John the Baptist had done his work, but it was a time when he said, okay, now it's your turn. It's our turn. I can't change what was done in this church 50 years ago. I can't change the direction of the church 50 years ago, or in the churches that all of us have been a part of, or in Christianity itself over the last 100 or 200 years. We can't affect any of that. The only thing we can affect is what happens now. And the only one I can affect is me. I'm the only one I can have discipline over. I'm the only one I can have courage for. And we can try to impact others, as we talked about Wednesday night. Try to have an effect on our surroundings, on those who are around us. But the truth is, each one of us has to make a commitment that we're going to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Whether we're talking about America, whether we're talking about Capitol Heights Baptist Church, whether we're talking about Christianity at large. We have got to look at what's at stake. You say, well, what happens if nobody signs up to fight for America? What if we cease to be the greatest military force on the face of the earth? You ever thought of that? What happens? People do. They say, well, you know, but China's pushing the buttons and Russia, and we talk about all these. So tell me something. What happens if we as Christians stop being the force of liberty in the spiritual sense? What if we stop preaching the gospel? What if we stop sharing Jesus? What if we stop living according to the code that God has given us? What if we get too lazy or too delinquent to do what God's called us to do? What's going to happen if we don't send missionaries, if we don't support missionaries, if we don't, number one, grow this church, if we don't, number two, help grow other mission points or churches, if we don't have outreach, if we don't have evangelism? What happens if we just lay back and say, well, we did our part? No, it's got to be carried on. We've got to carry it until somebody else is willing to pick it up from us. And we've got a large enough church, and by the way, in enough diversity of ages, that we can continue to do great things. But we have to decide we're going to do great things. And we have to let God guide us into those things. It can't be just our idea. We've got to connect with God. We've got to be in harmony with God, in sync with God. Have y'all noticed we hadn't read the Bible yet? Somebody say, he hadn't read the Bible yet. All right. Acts chapter 1. We're not going to read that much. The book of Acts is written by Luke. We're still not reading it. The book of Luke is written by Luke. And so he begins verse 1 by saying, former treaties have I made. Right? The book of Luke. O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So he says, I've already told you about what Jesus did in my other writing. To whom, until the day, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, he had, through the Holy Ghost, given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So he had given the apostles a command, right? Before he went up. A command by authority of God, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And what was that instruction? Go ye into all the world, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He says our job is to share the message. The most important message is what? The gospel, hope, love, forgiveness. In case you forgot, the reason those words are on everything we do is because you must have those three things to thrive in life. If I take away your hope, you'll surrender to death. If I remove the love, then you're surrendered already. If I take away the forgiveness, then you're buried under the weight of your guilt and your shame and your sin. But by providing through Christ the forgiveness of yesterday, the love for today, and the hope for tomorrow, we can encourage people to live and live well. We need that. We need Jesus, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, that's the message. The Bible talks about the gospel. And guys, this is simple. What do you do? Somebody tell me what kind of job you do. Besides somebody's retired. Jack. An electrician. What do? You build buildings? You put wire in buildings. Do you ever put two wires together and put that little nut on there all the time? You ever put them in a socket and tighten the little screw up? Why do you do that? Because what? Because you're an electrician? Jason, what do? You tear down buildings. You tear down the work that he does. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you tear it down, though?
With a hammer.
So you're manual demolition. Oh, all right. That sounds like fun.
Hammers and saws.
You just knock stuff down.
Tear it up.
And why do you do that? Okay. Because that's your job. Okay, would you do it for free?
Maybe.
All right, there you go. See? Because it's fun to tear stuff up. So Jack says that he's an electrician. So he says he puts wires and connects them and runs them down and through walls and all that kind of... Does that sound right, Brother Junior? Make stuff work. Because that's what he does. The gospel should just be what we do. Well, you're a Christian. What does that mean? Well, it means I tell people about Jesus. That's not what we say. You're a Christian. What does that mean? Well, it means I believe in Jesus. But it should also mean that I tell people about Jesus. That's what it should mean. We're satisfied by just saying I believe. We don't take that next step and say it's required of me that I tell. Look at what he says. Jesus told them... Verse 3. To whom also Jesus showed himself alive after his passion or crucifixion by many infallible proofs. In other words, it's not up for debate. Being seen of them 40 days. There was no doubt. 40 days. And speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father. Okay, so stop just a second. He tells them to stay in Jerusalem. What does he tell them to do? One thing, just one thing. Wait. Has God ever told you to wait? He's told me to wait. God ever told you no? Told me no. God ever told you go? He's told me go. But here, the only job they had was wait. Let me ask you to do something. If God has not given you something to do, wait. Don't go blasting ahead to do something God has not ordained. The work of God is God's work. It's only our work when He assigns it to us to do it. So when He tells you to wait, you ever want to go talk to somebody and something inside of you said, don't do that. That's God saying, wait. I want to talk to Him right now. But all of a sudden, God just said, no, not now, not yet. Wait. How many of you wish that you'd have listened when God told you to wait? See? Wait. God gave them an instruction. There was a reason to wait. They were relying on Jesus when He was among them. But now He's gone, right? Jesus has been crucified. He rose from the grave. And now He's ascended into heaven. Isn't that incredible? Just be standing there talking to Jesus and all of a sudden He just starts going up. You ever watch a space shuttle launch? And you just watch, or seen, you ever had a relative get on an airplane and they fly and you watch their plane as far as you can watch it go? Jesus begins to ascend into heaven and they just watch him go. Right? Verse number 9. While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. A cloud. We ever seen a Bible in, a cloud in the Bible before? Like the cloud that the children of Israel followed? Like the cloud that filled the tabernacle? Like the cloud that covered Mount Sinai? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus had been gone from heaven for 33 and a half years. He died, and of course he had to present himself before the Father, and then he came back and he ministered on earth for 40 more days in his resurrected body. And now he ascends into heaven and the Father receives him. Isn't that incredible? That doesn't impress y'all, does it? It says it right there, a cloud received him. And so now Jesus is in heaven. They don't have a leader, a pastor anymore. As we begin to look forward, we see that Peter kind of steps up and takes charge of everything. But now they're going to have to rely on God in a different way. Now they're going to have to rely on God through the Holy Ghost. When we get saved, when we trust Christ as our Savior, He forgives our sins. He writes our name in the book of life. But more than that, He sends His Holy Spirit. The presence of God Himself comes to dwell inside of us. To give us unction or instruction according to our needs and according to our mission. And so, instead of being able to turn to Jesus and Jesus say, go into the next town and get ready. Gather up the baskets. Bring me the fish. Instead of Jesus telling that, now it's turned inwardly in prayer, asking God through the Holy Ghost to instruct them. And so it's changed. Isn't that what we do? That's what we rely on. We rely on God to teach us. I'm not waiting on God to speak out of the clouds, are you? I'm not expecting God to speak from heaven and tell me what to do next. I'm going to read His Word. I'm going to stay in prayer and fellowship. And I'm going to rely on the voice of the Holy Ghost to direct me. And that's how it's changed at this point. Jesus ascends into heaven. He tells them to wait at Jerusalem until they receive the Holy Ghost, the power that comes from on high. But look at what He says in verse number 10. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. He's coming back. How many of you are happy He's coming back? I can tell y'all are just all excited. I feel like I just won the World Series the way y'all got excited about Jesus coming back. If we don't get excited, who's going to get excited? If we're not impressed by it, who's going to be impressed by it? If we don't start telling people and warning people and encouraging people with the message that Jesus is coming back with the understanding that it's going to be soon, who's going to do it? Do we believe Jesus is coming back? You see, Jesus is up there teaching on Mount Olivet, and He's talking to them, and He's teaching, and then He just starts to go up in the sky, and they're like, whoa, I didn't hear the end of the message. And the angel said, He's coming back. But you've got work to do until He comes back. And so we need to be busy. We need to be mindful of our calling and of our opportunity. And that it comes from the Holy Ghost. It doesn't come from what the preacher says. How many of you do stuff because the preacher said so? We shouldn't do it that way. We have the church, we have the Word of God, we have the preachers, but we have to have the Holy Ghost actually tell us what is our part. We hear the preacher talk about all kinds of stuff. We can't do everything the preacher talks about. We need to rely on the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost lead us. And that only comes by being ready, by prayer, staying in the Word of God and having a close walk with God, a close relationship with God. So that when the Spirit of God says to you, hey, give that guy a coat or give that guy a donut, you know that that's the leadership of the Holy Ghost. When that guy says, talk to that person about Jesus, we know that's the leadership of the Holy Ghost. When God says, hush, we know that's the leadership of the Holy Ghost. We have got to trust the indwelling of God. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't know His voice. Then that means He hadn't told you to do anything. That's all it means. It doesn't mean you're not saved. If you say, well, Pastor, I've prayed. I trust Christ. He's washed my sins away. I know I'm going to heaven, but I don't know the voice of God. Then He's not talking to you. But pay attention so that when He does, you're ready. I think sometimes the problem is not that He's not talking to us. Sometimes we ignore Him. Sometimes we don't like what He says, so we ignore it. The kids come along and they say, Daddy, how many of y'all think I have pretty good hearing? So what will they do? Daddy? Daddy, I heard you the first time. I'm just not ready to answer you yet. I think it's not our hearing. Sometimes God talks to us, and I don't think it's our ability to recognize that's God's voice. I think we just say, I'm not ready yet. I'm not saying He's going to talk to you every day. I'm not saying He's talking to you today. But we need to be in such a ready state so that when He does speak to us, that we know it's Him. By the way, the voice of God will never go against the Word of God. God told me to go rob a bank. Wrong. Thou shalt not steal. It's right there. He didn't tell you. Well, God told me I should go. No. Bible says, no, don't do that. The voice of God will never contradict the Word of God. Because this is the voice of God in writing. Why stand ye gazing up into the clouds? It's unbelievable, and by the way, undeniable, that Jesus ascended into heaven. It's unbelievable and undeniable that He rose from the grave and that He ministered for 40 days on earth after that. But we can't just stand around gazing and talking about how He lived once. We got to be ready for Him to come back. So I'm a Christian. What does that mean? It means I tell people about Jesus. It doesn't just mean I believe in Jesus. So here's the challenge. Of course, if you're here today and you're not born again, today's the day. And right now, from your heart to God's heart, you can call out and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for my sins, and I ask You to forgive me and save my soul. And I give my life to You. If you'll pray that prayer, God will save your soul. Give yourself to God. Maybe that's what you need today. The challenge beyond that is to tell people about Jesus. Tell them. Tell them that you have a Savior that loves you. Tell them that God sent His only begotten Son, and He died for your sins and for their sins too. You see, we didn't read it in there, but it's in there. He says, ye shall be witnesses of Me in Jerusalem. That's a city. In Judea, that's the region. And Samaria, that's the neighboring region. And there was one more part. the uttermost part of the earth. Wherever we go, ye shall be witnesses of me. What does a witness do? A witness tells a couple of things. But a witness tells their personal experience. What they've personally experienced. What they personally saw or they've personally experienced. That's a witness. So how do I tell people about Jesus? Tell them what he did for you. Tell them how Jesus changed your life, Brother Bill said. And Brother Rodney said, the military was good for me and it gave me structure and it gave me a good life and I enjoyed it. Well, how about when we talk about our salvation? I tell you what, I'm going to heaven and I'm glad. I'll live with God. I read His Word. I understand His Word. I have His presence and His love and my sins are washed away. And I don't live in guilt and shame. And you might want to shame me and you might want to guilt me and you might want to try to drag me down by digging something up that I've done in my past. I'm not going there. I'm not living there anymore. If you want to live in the past, you can. I don't want to live there anymore. I want to live in the grace and the mercy and the love of God. Amen. Well, I don't see how you can be so happy knowing what you did in your past. Because I don't live there anymore. The peace that passes all understanding. But that comes with our relationship with God. It comes with that communion of knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. We don't have Jesus to look to and actually have face-to-face conversations anymore. But Jesus says, if I go, then the Father will send the Comforter, the one who walks beside, the Holy Ghost. And He shall be in you. And that is our hope and our assurance. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, please let today be the day that you put your faith in Him. If you're here and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, but you say, Pastor, I'm not connecting with what you're talking about today. I don't have that presence of God in my life. Then let me encourage you to just spend time with God. Don't force it. Guys, God will speak to us when He's ready. We said in Sunday school, Abraham was 70 years old the first time that we know that he ever heard the voice of God. Just be ready, that's all, for God to speak to us. Again, I'm not talking about an audible voice like at Jesus' baptism. I'm talking about that inner voice, or as He said to Elijah, that still small voice. The unction of God. Let's stand. Father, we are thankful to be in Your house today and to open Your Word. Pray that You will draw us to You. That You will teach us, God, that You will arrest our hearts and grip our minds and our imaginations. That You will fill us with Your Spirit. Lord, that You will inspire us. Give us Your life today. That we understand as Christians, we tell people about Jesus. Not just we believe, we tell people so that others may have that hope and that joy that You have extended to us through Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to. If you have a burden or a need, we can reach out together today. But please, won't you just give yourself to God. Say, God, speak to me. Teach me. Talk to me. Direct me. Give me that unction from on high. I want to serve You, Lord. Thank you. stand forward as best. All right. If you, again, want to give toward the Christmas program, the children's shopping, we appreciate that. And then if you wanted to get one of these, get with me, okay? Anything else? For Christmas? You can earmark it, or if it's...
Okay.
Yeah, you can just make a note. All right. All hearts and minds clear? We're going to have a smiling class later, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Andy, dismiss us, please.